When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Indeed. It's the Independent Wrestling Podcast. I'm Mike here again, as always, to talk some independent wrestling like we do here every Wednesday, because it's Wednesday. And I'm always, and as always, I'm joined by my amazing co-host, Righteous Reg. How are you doing, man?
In the building, it's your boy, Media Man, your favorite rapper, your favorite writer, your favorite podcaster, here today talking some independent wrestling. Very excited, Mike. We got a very special guest. We are talking some of the best independent wrestling in Canada and around the world. So I'm very excited about our show today.
Absolutely. I've got a bit of a long-winded introduction here. So our guest just going to have to sit there and, just keep smiling for a minute. Mm-hmm. But way back when this show very first started, very first episode of Indeed, it was just me sitting here alone in front of a camera reviewing independent shows that I watched. Mm-hmm. And the very first promotion I talked about was the promotion that we're going to be discussing today. And, that was all the way back on bodyslam.net. And funny enough, our last episode ever on bodyslam.net was when we first interviewed our guest today.
Yes.
And, it should be no surprise that for the first time ever, this is our first returning guest today.
Oh.
I could tell you all about C4 Wrestling myself. I won't do it justice. I could get Mark to tell you about it, but he's like pretty biased. So instead, we got some reviews. Let's read the reviews. Yeah. It's pretty much everyone has said it's the PWG of Canada.
Mm-hmm.
It's an indie rock show frat party, says Scrapper James Stone. It's long been Canada's best opportunity to challenge the top prospects of American indies, says Von Vertigo. C4 is one of the premier destinations for any indie wrestler. The crowd, the venue, the talent, C4 has set themselves apart from most and can be considered one of the best promotions in North America. That's from the hot stepper, McCray Martin.
Mm-hmm.
C4 Wrestling for me is home. It's the promotion that everyone is talking about in Canada, and in a few years it'll be the top independent professional wrestling promotion in all of North America. That's future C4 Wrestling champion Junior Benito.
Mm-hmm.
C4 gives me a lot of cool opportunities, and I'm forever and eternally grateful and hope to be able to repay them somehow someday in the future. Absolutely my favorite promotion to work for. Mark and Steven are absolute professionals, and I wish all promoters are like them. Myung Yes. Jae Lee.
Yes.
C4 is a community full of good people that take care of each other. There's something for everybody, even those who don't normally watch wrestling, and it's a safe place to have fun and be entertained. It's not just a wrestling show. It's a party. And everyone, all caps, is welcome. And that's from our wonderful friend, Val, who bakes the best fucking cookies ever. So, yeah, we've got Mark from C4 Wrestling here with us. We're here to talk about C4 Wrestling. I was just there last week for their season premiere. Walking the edge in the building. Finally, bucket yes. list checked off. First of many times. We're going back. But in 2024, because I used the last of my vacation this weekend. Mark, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good. I'm mostly recovered from the weekend, but I'm good. I'm yes. doing all right. Yeah.
Yes. You. You had a busy day on Friday. You were. Every time I saw you, you were in a different spot in the building, all over the place. But yeah, let's talk right off the bat. Walking the Edge. It premiered last night on IWTV at 8 p.m.
Yes.
it went down on Friday at the Preston Event Center. Just experience, atmosphere, vibe, everything, like all that stuff that looks like it's really cool and feels really cool when you're watching C4 on IWTV. I can validate that it is, in fact, real.
Yes.
That was an awesome show. How, you know, your thoughts, first of all, it was pretty very well received. So how did you, you know, what did you think about it?
Oh, that's the hardest question to answer is for an artist to reflect on their own work, right? Mm-hmm. All I can see are the things that could have been better. Right. That sounds ridiculous for me to say that after such a glowing introduction, Mike. But yeah, I think, like, all in all, I think it went pretty well. There were a few things I know about that didn't go so well. I mean, my day started off that day at like 6, checking my phone, and Josh Alexander Lamino's flight was canceled. So that's how the day started. And that was at 6 a.m. And then I had to get my kids breakfast and out the door. So like I was like, okay, I will deal with this. Thankfully, Josh was within a driving range. And by that, I mean 10 hours away, but he did it. Which, thank you, Josh, very much. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was a singles heavy card, something I don't traditionally do. I always have like 3 or 4 singles, but like my own booking and how I'm structuring a show, I really hate having the same match type back to back. That so what I mean is, like, I don't like having, like, on Friday, I think there were like 3 singles, a 4-way of singles, 6-man singles, and it was just, people were receptive to it, and I'm sure watching it, it's on IWTV, it goes down smoothly. I just know I was nervous about the reception, but thankfully those singles were mostly pretty loaded singles that I was presenting. Everything clicked really well. Crowd wasn't as and I know, again, I'm sorry to be dwelling on this, but, September is it's now post pandemic, coming out of COVID, three, like last year and this year, the September shows have been our smallest crowds. So I'm hoping people come back next month. but yeah, it was probably like the last gasp of summer up here, before a nice fall followed by a long cold winter. So I understand if people had other obligations. But yeah, I was creatively, I'm mostly satisfied with the show.
Mark, before we really get into it, I have some post-show booking things. How is it kind of post-show after, you know, you had this big show, you guys have premiered on IWTV. Are you right back into it? Do you take a break or do you just, keep going?
I like having the shows on Friday.
Yeah.
Because that, like, I've got a family and there I do Friday. Sleep in a bit Saturday as much as my wife will allow it. Mm-hmm. And then it's distance. I'm still like monitoring Twitter, monitoring people talking and checking out, seeing what people are responding to the show. But it's really Monday when I finally sit down and really dive into the next show. Like, I'll have my like ideas, but actually start solidifying a card. This week is what I've been mainly focusing for October. So there's always a lot of moving parts. But for me, I get through the show at this stage. 10 years ago, I couldn't get through a show and breathe, but at this stage I can get through a show and breathe as much as a 4 and 7 year old will allow for a weekend. and then get back into it the following week.
Gotcha.
Fantastic. Yeah, so going back to, you know, the card, you said you did say, you know, it was a singles heavy card, but those were some loaded single matches.
Yes.
And in terms of cards, like roster wise, probably one of the craziest cards that I've seen in a very, you know, it's like it was WrestleMania in Canada or something this week. This was a wild. It was a very, very stacked card. But so, you know, something that sticks out from the show, obviously, like, being there and having watched it again last night on the stream, is every match had like something memorable to it that, you know, kind of set it apart from all the other matches on the card. It was a it was still, diversely structured in matchups and competition across the ring from each other. Have to talk obviously about Junior Benito versus Titus Alexander.
Titus, oh, smokes.
Look, it's your love that got me to book Titus.
Yeah.
You guys, like Reg, for a long time, you've been praising Titus and West Coast. And I tried to get him up here. You're going, finally it lined up, and I was able to get him up here. And he's really, really good.
Yeah.
It's like that. Yeah. And I was also like, the parallels I see between Junior and Titus are like, I see a lot of parallels between them, let's say. And I was happy to be able to have that match, hopefully for the first of many times those two cross paths.
Yeah.
It's funny, like, I'm pretty sure in West Coast and here, Junior and Titus both did the same program with Davey Richards, even so much so that once they beat Davey Richards in the blow off, Davey cut almost the exact same promo post match, putting them and it was like a couple weeks apart. But anyways,
that sounds about right. Sounds like Davey Richards. Yeah, it was great to see Titus go out there and get that reception. As everyone knows, as you said, Mark, I've been praising Titus for a long, long time. I mean, pretty immediately seeing him at West Coast Pro, I knew what the potential he has. I always compare him. I say 2002 AJ Styles is Titus Alexander right now. Sure. When you see him, the way he works, the way he bumps, like the way he sells, everything about him is like, gives me those young AJ Styles vibes. So it's like, when this guy really, like, and he's not in his prime at all yet. When he gets to his prime, he's going to be amazing. And I've been hearing so much about Junior. Of course, I make the list, Black Wrestling's 500. Yes. Junior's been a part of it many times, and he will be a part of it again. And I've just been hearing, exactly like you said, everything I've heard about Titus, I've heard the same thing about Junior. And when I see him work, I get the same energy. So it's like, you putting together that match was like, yeah, of course, that's a perfect matchup.
Yeah, like I said, I was excited to be able to be the first booker to put that together, and I'm sure I won't be the last. Hopefully, I won't be the last, and hopefully, it's something that'll be a rivalry that will go on for another decade. Like, because those two, I don't want to say mirror images of each other, but they have so many similarities, and just their rise has mirrored each other. Mm-hmm.
I referred to it like while I was watching it because I was not. I got to shout out my seat neighbors real quick because there's a couple sitting next to me that were just the most fun to random strangers to get beside me. But they didn't know who Titus was. And it was great because I was like, aha, I sure fucking do. Let me tell you all about this guy. But like describing it, you know, you mentioned the parallels and I did, like I told him, I was like, it's basically a mirror match.
Yeah,
in a way. But it's a mirror match in, you know, from them both in they're actually the same age, talent wise, experience wise, style in the ring, very similar in a lot of ways. But then even the mirror kind of goes beyond the ring. And because when you do really take a look at C4 and West Coast Pro, they are in many ways kind of like two sides of the same coin in the way, in the way that you feature your local talent and your stars of your area, not continually bashing heads against each other all the time, but facing top competition internationally and from, all over the globe to really showcase them and elevate them to like that level where they can be viewed on the same, on the same plane as the Speedball Mike Baileys, the Konosuke Takeshitas of the world, like those names. So I know, you're mentioning the parallels. Have you ever kind of noticed that between like the promotions as well?
Well, it's not something I've stopped to think about, but yeah, I think the same booking philosophy I think is there. And I think it's the idea of like, I know West Coast, it has that big Starboy Charlie Tice match coming up, right?
Yeah.
And that's like two of their guys who they have built up and are now in a position to have this big match. And I know something specifically about this show was, I had those singles and most of those singles were either a younger guy or a local guy facing off with a much bigger or more experienced international star. And that's the way everyone gets better, right? The only way people get better, and that's what I've always tried to do with C4, is have a place where people walk away better than they came into it. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know what the point is otherwise. I think West Coast, I mean, they have access to a lot of other people who would be amazing to get up here, but I think we're doing okay. Totally. In that regard. We're trying.
Absolutely.
Yeah. More than okay.
but plenty more than okay. Speaking of names that, wow, like 2 feet away from me on Friday night stood Francesco Akira, one of the best junior heavyweights in the entire world.
Really, really good.
Mm-hmm. And can't say enough good things about watching the scrapper James Stone just beat the tar out of him all over that ring. Ah, man, James Stone.
Yeah, he's a 20-plus year vet of Quebec, and like mostly he was Montreal for most of his career, and now he's in this region. But yeah, he's very talented. He's a very, I don't want to say the term solid hand, but he's a worker who can work with just about anybody. And I mean, he's not old by any means, and still has a lot to offer. And he's been really, really pushing himself, especially last year, to try and get out there and get out of the local scene/Quebec Ontario scene, and I think he's headed to Europe for the first time to do a couple weeks there at the end of October. Sweet. So yeah. I'm hopeful. Like Vertigo's got a whole crew of people going with him this time. No, Junior's headed over there. Fuerz is going. Alexi is going. James Stone is going. I think McCray's going as well. Yeah, McCray's going. That's why he's missing that show. But so they're all going there, and it's great to see all ages and experience levels jumping on an opportunity like that to better themselves and push themselves.
Absolutely. I was trying to get some Canadians for Indeed in October, and I got a lot of, can we do November or December?
Yeah, yeah.
Because, a whole crew going over to England.
That's great.
Good for all of them. Also, you know, again, if you want to go back to talking about parallels, West Coast and C4, James Stone versus Vinny Massaro, I will... Mm-hmm. That's my next one.
I didn't want to make that comparison. I didn't want to say that, but I mean, that's a comparison. I see both of them. They're both vets. Vinny, I think, a little bit longer, and has had more exposure. But I can see them both two nice Italian fellas in the locker room who want to guide the next generation with their curmudgeonly ways.
Yeah. And through sheer violence.
Yes.
Also.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That'd be a fun tag team, actually, too. Oh man.
Sorry, if only North America wasn't so big and flights weren't so expensive, there'd be a whole lot more.
Yeah. Right. And one country that has a lot of the markets also is just like, no, that whole other country above us, you can't really come down here and do your
thing. Yeah, pretty much.
So it automatically becomes, okay, well, I guess you all have to come up here.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, lucky for American independent wrestlers, because the Canadian independent wrestlers are really good and they would take all their spots.
Yes.
And selfishly gives me more time with Canadians who I build up.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish it didn't. I wish they could flourish as quickly. But it does let me put a bit more stock into people who I know won't be disappearing so quickly. But I mean, that can always change on a dime, right? Like mm-hmm. someone can get signed, visas can come through. I mean, I know there are people who are actively pursuing them, and I really hope they do. I just hope they keep some Fridays open for me.
Well, you know, but I think you could also say that investment that you're putting into these people, it does build a healthy relationship and, you know, loyalty, in the sense of, like, you look at guys like Josh Alexander, Speedball Mike Bailey, mm-hmm. Boluno, Stu Grayson, you know, some of them aren't there every show, but you mm-hmm. know,
they still come back.
Uno and Stu, like, I can almost count on, if there's a C4 show, I'm going to see one or both of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I, 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 I don't imagine that changing with, you know, this younger generation that's coming through either.
Yeah, like I think I've been fortunate to have a relationship with good people who have turned out to be very good wrestlers. Mm-hmm. And that's something I think I've had a good eye for over the last 16 years. I think I can. Well, I mean, we can have good relationships with the good ones, I guess is what I'd say, and not, and filter out the ones who, because the ones who are assholes, who just aren't a good addition to the locker room, aren't going to last many shows, right? Like there's no reason to have them around. And yeah, those relationships, that's why I said, like when Josh's flight was canceled on Friday, he wouldn't do it for most people, I think, at this stage. I know he's always prided himself on making dates, and I know he drove down to Atlanta or something in the last few months. But I think he told me, he's like, me and the wife had discussed that I wouldn't be doing that anymore. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be doing these giant drives. And then I had to tell her the flight was canceled. So, but he was willing to make that exception for me and do that trip. And that means a lot that those relationships are still, they mean something. Like Speedball, I thought Speedball was going to have a whole weekend up here, but no, he came up Friday and then went down for LVAC on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Which was awesome. I know he's very busy, and it was nice of him to fit me in. And then also someone like Alan Angels, who I hadn't worked with before, but tried to work with about a year ago, and that didn't work out because he got signed to Impact. That kind of just came together. I spoke about this last week. It came together the week, like 6 or 7 or 8 days before the show. Yeah. It came together that Angels could do the show. I was really pleased to have him up here.
Yeah, I remember you when I was making the that old, like the poster for the card, and you sent me the card, and you're like, oh, and I saw the Angels and Uno match. I was like, oh shit, and you're like, yeah, that one came together yesterday. I was like, wow,
yeah,
keeps getting better and better. But you know, you talked about you mentioned it there, and it's something I actually kind of wanted to bring up, having felt it myself now. But you mentioned, you know, good people. And having, you know, being around good people, and you know, again, coming back to my experience at C4 from like the venue staff, the ring crew, you know, shout out to Hattie and Alex from the Keith and Maddie P, the refs, the sound guy, like the voice, mm-hmm. Dr. Bob, Adam B, all the wrestlers, all the fans. It was like one big, like upbeat community, and it felt like almost like a very large family reunion that happens every month. Yeah. In a way, you know,
West Coast Pro parallel, because this sounds exactly like me going to West Coast Pro.
Awesome. Like my seat neighbors were total strangers. They're apparently regulars there. They found out it was my first time, but like that, you know, I was like, I've been watching forever, but I just finally got to be here. And like, you know, they were in like just everyone. And the voice, you know, he gives the same talk and speech before every show. But, you know, no racism, no sexism, homophobia, transphobia, or hate in any kind of way is tolerated at C4. And it should be an obvious thing that, like, just, you know, mm-hmm. we as people are just like, yeah, that's not, you know, that makes sense. But to hear it out loud, you know, it kind of like, it reminds me that, yeah, this is I'm in a good place. This is a safe place with, you know, mm-hmm. the kind of people I want to be surrounded by. So, you know, in building a great wrestling promotion, did you also have, you know, was building such a great community an intention there? Or is this kind of just a byproduct of, because you've put some things together so well, and, you know, it just... this environment gets to flourish because of it.
Like, I know for backstage, it was always like a no assholes thing. Mm-hmm. And for backstage for years, I'd be like, the locker room is like in the John Wick movies, the Continental. I don't care what your beef is on outside of this locker room, but here it's all you guys, everyone get along. I don't want any bullshit. Mm-hmm. And just having a bullshit shit free locker room was a very important thing. And I just didn't want to surround myself with assholes. I think the community with fans, I think most of us backstage being good people, that kind of would shine off to the other people. But I think for me, it more overtly became something that I wanted to, and using words like community, project more so was coming out of the pandemic. And coming out of where I live is Ottawa, and something like the trucker convoy happening here, which brought a whole lot of like racist and hateful feelings into the city, and brought a lot of anger that really it hurt a lot of people who live in our community. Mm-hmm. Like there's an anti-trans march going on right now downtown from the fumes of that, the mm-hmm. political discourse that came out during the pandemic. And I thought, what's the use of taking a pause during the pandemic and going through speaking out and going through the George Floyd stuff and going through all this stuff if you're not going to actually try and better the community that you're trying to build? And C4 might be a small part of it, but it's something that I would like to be a place full of good people in Ottawa.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, like going through that month of the convoy in Ottawa, there were a lot of, you didn't really see what was going on to the people in the city who were going through a lot of that. And I know that there's a lot of people who agreed with some of the ideas why people were here protesting and whatnot, but it was really, hurt a lot of people in the city. And I became very politically active using the C4 Twitter throughout that month that happened. And like, I know I rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, mm-hmm. but I remember when we finally came back in fall 2021, with the Fighting Back 10, Bailey and Garcia, the day before the show, I posted, I'm like, look, if you've been someone who's been outed as a sex pest, or if you've been somebody who's just spent the pandemic spouting racist or anti-science or homophobic, or just spreading that shit into the world for the last year and a half, don't come. Mm-hmm. You're not wanted here.
Yep.
Yeah, I think also my ideas of communities, like as a teenager, I was really into the punk scene locally. And I think to me, the punk scene was like something of a community and something about not judging people and something about looking out for one another. And I think that was something early on when I started C4, I wanted to maybe draw parallels to that. So yeah, the community aspect, it does mean something to me. And, everyone's there to have a good time, and everyone's there just be cool with each other. And if you're not, if you come in not being that way, you're not welcome. And I think also it took me years to be able to say, like, no, I don't want a people in the crowd who are yelling racist shit or misogynistic right. shit. That's not like years ago, I've been like, I don't want to lose the fan. I don't want to. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, no, fuck off. I'll gain five more people who do feel welcome instead yeah. of the one asshole who shouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. So even as a pure business level, separating my personal feelings, it doesn't make sense to welcome negativity into the room. So, and division. So yeah. I don't know if I went off on that, but that's something
that's good.
Kind of strongly about.
And yeah.
it's again, if C4 is my contribution to society, I'd like it to be a good one.
Mm.
Even if there are just a bunch of drunk idiots having a good time,
right?
At least you're not a bunch of drunk, hateful idiots.
Yeah. Thank you for creating that space, because a lot of promoters feel like the opposite of that. They're like, yeah, just like you were saying, it's a paying fan. Like, as long as they're here to pay, like, that's all I yeah. care about. And I don't care about the well-being of the other fans or the wrestlers. I just care about this dollar, which is crazy. And we need to get past that. But there are a lot of places like C4 and other wrestling companies around the country and the world that are creating safe spaces. So thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Mark, real quick, I want to get into, I had a conversation recently about dream matches. And if they still exist, question mark. And as someone who books matches that people go very crazy for, I'd like to get your thoughts on, do you think that they still exist? And two, booking wise, do you book a match and say, like, this is a dream match that everybody's going to want, or this is this, or is it just like, I think this is going to be a great match that's going to further along the stories going along in C4?
I think there's both. For me, like, I mean, I'm sure, like, yeah, I think the concept of dream matches still exist. And there's things you don't even think about. Like, I randomly saw someone, this was in regards to seeing, like, Rob Van Dam announced for Collision coming up this week. Someone's like, Kenny Omega versus Rob Van Dam would be cool.
Yeah.
Like, fuck, yeah, that would be pretty awesome.
That is a dream match. Yeah,
like,
you're right.
And it's never something that, like, crossed my mind. And I think we're just so spoiled.
We are.
With great wrestling that it's like, you don't stop. And at the level of people I'm using, I can't really use the term dream match because people haven't, like, there are people like Bailey, who I'm sure I could put dream matches together with, but then to me, Titus versus Juniors, it was a dream match that I was racing to get towards for me personally, because I wanted to be the first one to present that, and I knew it was going to be really good, and it was really good.
Yeah.
But in, like, the larger scope of things, I don't think most people would agree it's a dream match, but it's,
they just don't know yet.
Yeah, they don't
know. They just don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, when I'm putting a card together, I think it's a bit of both. It's personal taste, but also it's knowing that I think like styles make fights, and I think lots of different there's things that won't immediately jump out to you that you would, but there's aspects of certain things that make me interested in doing certain matches. And it's a hard question to answer. But for me, it's like, I can't really explain booking for me, but obviously it's like a formula in my head when I'm working on a card. Mm-hmm. And what works, what I don't think would work. It does, a lot of it's personal taste, I'm sure, but fortunately my personal taste has been pretty good in terms of what other people seem to enjoy and other people's tastes. I think at all levels, dream matches still exist. And sometimes, you just don't realize the dream match until it's over, until it's right in front of you.
Right.
Yeah. That Titus and Junior one, like, that's, again, like, that's something where, you know, people who know who they both are understand that is a dream match.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it's going to be one of those things where I'm sure a few years from now, people are going to be like, man, I'd love to see those guys lock up. And be
like, well, I mean, like, I was,
well, actually,
not to take too much credit, but, like, I remember I was the second person to put Garcia and Bailey together, but that was something I really wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And put them in a main event spot. And it's like other people have done the same thing recently.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just the C4 of California.
Things have changed. The tables have turned over here, my
right,
people.
Yeah, right. And then, like, Biff Busick versus Bailey was the first one to put that together. And I know that, like, Beyond and PWG, and that's something that went around. So it's just being able to, to jump on something that I know is going to be right. And then it's awesome when it becomes something that other people will promote or other people do the same match.
So you don't go on the internet and be like, I was first after somebody does that.
No, just right now.
Just right now.
Yeah. it's funny too, because, but I think, some of that actually does come back to, as much as, you know, we complain about it here in Canada, some of our best wrestlers, not necessarily being able to leave the country, gives the promotions up here the ability to really run some of these matches first, because we have that easy access to the Canadians already that they don't in America. And, it's just a matter of eating that flight cost, really.
Yeah. Well, it's what's awesome is when there's an American response, like, to a Canadian local talent, like right. Reg being excited about Junior. That means a lot. And like mm-hmm. when I first saw him on the BWI, I was like, yes, that's mm-hmm. fucking awesome, man. Like that's, I want to see Junior succeed. So it's cool that those matches that you speak of with using, no, I don't want to say local, but using Canadian talent resonate with an international audience.
I say local, but I really just do mean Canadian.
Sure, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It's totally, yeah. It's yeah. that, it's that, like, it's that we only have one baseball and basketball team mentality where it's like, it's our local sports team. It represents the whole fucking country, yeah. But, you know.
Like, there's a whole bunch of quote unquote locals in on the West Coast right now who are in BC who are just amazing, who would love to get out this way. Yeah. But again, flights are just killer, especially yeah. within Canada. But it's like, I was happy to have, like, I've only had Daniel McCabe up here one time so far, but he's someone I'd like to get back out this way. I'd love to get Nicole out this way. Armin Spencer, I'd love to get out this way. I've been able to have, like, Evan Rivers, who's phenomenal, Travis Williams, Judas Icarus.
Yeah.
It's just, there's a great crop. It's awesome to see. It's because for so long, it was in Canada, there were these bubbles, and no one really knew what other people were doing. And if for the last 14 years, if you were on the in California, or not California, in BC, it wouldn't be something that I'd be like, let's get you out here. But mm-hmm. I know there's some discount airlines that are making it somewhat possible and people being able to work out things to make it doable. Just that Lionsgate Dojo in British Columbia has just been putting out incredible talent. And it reminds me a lot of The Keep, what Uno and Stu are doing here. There's these crops of talent who are coming up really fast and just doing good and getting themselves out there. That's the other thing I think that for decades people weren't doing, and that's getting out of their local bubble.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to The Keep too. Like
Uno and Stu and everyone else helping train there have done a phenomenal job. It's something that this city lacked for many years. For early on when I started C4, I remember like, oh, we should start a school. In hindsight, I'm glad we didn't. Yeah. Just because I never want to become like a student fed. But having very close friends running one of the best schools in the country is paying dividends, and it's really good to have, and it's awesome to have a group of students who are willing to help out and ones who I don't mind using, because that's the other thing is there can be a school with students who come out to help but they're not good. Yeah. That's the problem. And that for many years, that was a situation with the local crops coming up here is they were nice kids, but they weren't learning the right way. They weren't getting out there. They were just never getting any better. And meanwhile, like Uno, thankfully with The Keep, thankfully he's running shows as well now. So he's running shows as well. And then it's just good networking and these kids are getting out there and learning the right way and working hard.
Yeah. And, you know, just great examples of that being, you know, Fresh Air, like Junior Benito, yep. and mm-hmm. Hot Stepper, you know, two of, you know, you could definitely call them the, you know, premier students that have come out of The Keep, really, at London Lightning as well. Like the C4 Underground four-way match, like that was, you know, Jody Threat unfortunately couldn't make it out and had to pull out of that. London Lightning steps up into that four-way and like what an opportunity for him to like showcase his abilities, and he made the most of it in with three like very veteran you know, obviously his teacher's one of them too, Stu,
yeah,
is in the match, so amazing. He hit a spine buster in that match that would make Powerhouse Hobbs jealous. Like it was, I thought he killed Von Vertigo.
Yeah, London. So London's a good kid. He's an athlete. I know he trained out west for a bit. I want to say Lance Storms. No, that wouldn't make any sense. But he trained out west for a bit.
Yeah,
and then he's come here to learn more, which is awesome. And wish more people do instead of just I've trained. I've learned how to wrestle. I'm wrestling. I don't need to learn anymore. And London is he's got a good humble athlete attitude. And Unos, like after like two or three matches, Unos like he's really good. And then I saw for myself, and he's also someone he like in the summer he was out because he like broke his ankle or something. It was like popped back within like 6 weeks. Again, that young athlete is like to have young genes. He's good. And then there's a bunch of other kids who are like Hattie's another younger student who just gets it. And there's a whole bunch of other kids who are I can't exactly book all of them, but if opportunities come along, I'll try and see what I can give them to help better them on their journey.
Absolutely. You know, Dexter Doom, another one that
Dexter's awesome. He's a great dude.
One of my favorite people I was talking to. Great, you know, another hardcore kid. So you know, that was awesome. And even on Ring Crew, like I met Alex, who's training at the Keep, just everyone that I've interacted from there. Like it's it comes back to that like good people mentality, but like good people just to be around anyway. Yeah, London though, you were saying, kind of freaked me out. I got to talk to him for a bit, and he kind of gave me like his backstory and the fact that he's like 14 months or 16 months deep on training. He did like 4 months out west.
Yeah,
he was supposed to be like at Storms, and it like fell through. So he trained somewhere else, and then he's been a year at the Keep after that, and just like he looks like he's born for this.
Yeah.
Like insane, insane.
To be young, like I said, he's
just wild. But yeah, no, the card for Walking the Edge, crazy, an amazing show. Met so many great people out there. Someone that I did also get the chance to speak with that I haven't mentioned yet because I kind of wanted to save him for his own thing was Steven. I finally got to meet Steven, who, what a great guy. Definitely runs a tight ship and can get the troops in line, but then like speaking to him one-on-one, it's just like he's got a heart of gold. And you know, what's it been like running C4 with Steven
is a great friend. He's someone who like rewinds. So I started C4 in 2007. Late 2010 I was like, I just can't keep doing this on my own. I think I'm gonna wrap things up. I can't take all the burden of everything. And it was me and my wife you just can't. And I agreed with it. So rewind, but several months prior to that, I met Steven, and Steven had came to me because he had been a wrestling fan. He had just, I don't know if he retired or whatever. And he's also someone who doesn't really like being out there that he's involved. So, but I'll talk about him for a few minutes here. So he came to me and was like, I want to put on a wrestling show. And I said, okay. And he said, I approached these other locals who are no longer doing things, but they quoted me like this crazy high price and told me I had to train with them and do all this, like basically running him away from it.
Yeah.
And I said, look, if you really want to finance a show, we can talk. You will probably lose money, but this is the budget we will work with. And this was, I want to say, looking back, this would have been only the best three. It was our third anniversary show, I want to say. And we worked together on it, and we did the show, and people knew, like, I introduced him around, like, and I think he told me, like, later on, it's like, you were right within, like, $50 of how much money I made on that show. And like just the honesty, my honesty with him, instead of just being like, oh, here's a money mark, I'm gonna take from for all these words. It's like, no, this guy's a friend, and I don't want him getting ripped off, and that's what the other people saw. They were short-sighted and saw dollar signs. And it's not like he's got a whole bunch, but he just really wanted to put on this one show. And so then when fast forward to 6 months later, whatever it was, where I'm like, I gotta wrap things up. He's like, don't let me come on board and help you with the certain aspects of it. And that was 13 years ago, 12 years ago. And he's been my, like, I guess there's kind of like a front of house, back of house what we do. He, for a long time, he's been the one on the floor running ring crew, making sure things are running smoothly out there while I'm running around everywhere else and handling the booking and handling the, like, handling all sorts of stuff. Although he's had to, like, he had, again, I don't want to talk too much, but he the show last Friday, he was like a week out from having a major cancer surgery he just had.
Oh, shit.
But he was declared cancer free the day before.
Wow.
So, having a small crowd really was put in perspective. Like, hey, you're cancer free. What does it matter if we didn't do as great as we hoped we would? So it was nice. But no, Steven's been an awesome partner. He's been a partner like through all the fighting backs. He's someone who was there when I remember when I first came, like, wanted to run the fighting back shows, and he was there helping me out with that. And yeah, he's just been an awesome partner. He's got a different presence and vibe than I have, for sure.
Yin and yang, very
much. Yeah, sure. he's an ex-military guy.
Oh god, and that does explain the tight shift. Like, yeah. Oh, okay.
But no, Steven's a great dude. He's one of my closest friends, and I never would have met him had it not been for C4. And it's, I know, I don't want to paint a picture of him like being this old guy, but I mean, I think C4 also being around everybody every month, he loves wrestling and he loves the community aspect of it too. And I think he could deal with a little less people trying to chum up to him to get booked and more just directed towards me. But we work really well together. And we've worked really well together for 13 years now. And like I said to you when you showed up, Mike, I said, look for the guy. He looks like a cross between Belle's father and Beauty and the Beast and Super Mario. And that's Steven.
Yeah. I didn't even have to find him. He found me when he I was like standing right by the door when he got there. He walked up, he said hi to Matt, and then he was like, "You must be Mike. Thanks for the poster. I love it." Like, he was just, okay. The night, like, right off the bat, I was just like, all right, very reminds me actually of an uncle of mine. So I was like, I think we'll get along. Yeah. The other reason I did want to bring up Steven as well too, besides him just being so awesome, is during the show he announced first four participants for the Terry Ann Gibson Memorial Tag Tournament, which we did actually cover on Indeed last year when MSP won that. The Terry Ann Gibson Memorial Tag Tournament is in honor of Steven's wife. And this year, the first four teams announced, obviously, C4 Tag Team Champions, currently Triple Dragon, Puff and Pretty Ricky, Books and Looks, Philly Marino Experience, and making the return to C4 is Violence is Forever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think TDT might have kind of declared themselves for it. So I don't know. I don't know if they've if Twiggy discussed that with you. I'm assuming that's all he does is like that was me to Twiggy during their match. I was like, what do you do anyway?
He stirs shit up in a very entertaining way.
Absolutely. That trio's was chaos. I was like, someone's in the back of the room there. someone's over by the entrance here.
TDT and Twiggy and Tull gave me lots of anxiety. Mm-hmm. Knowing them all for many years, but every time they're out there, I get tremendous anxiety.
Yeah.
That was the first time I've ever seen an ear of corn used as a weapon in a
wrestling match. I did not see that. I don't know where an ear of corn came from, but that's thanks for informing me of this.
No, I have no idea where the ear of corn came from either. But Puff was coming down the entranceway, like halfway through the match, just swinging an ear of corn at TDT, and I don't know. Yeah,
that makes sense.
So
I don't question it. That's good.
Whoever brought corn,
Puff probably brought the corn with them. I'm sure.
Sure.
I was, I was like, what are vegetables doing here? Is Brother Earth back there? Like, what the hell? But so yeah, with the so something I did notice when Steven was introducing the teams for the tag tournament though is the pop for violence is forever.
Yeah.
And it's something I've noticed at C4. It's obviously been a place to showcase some of Canada's best and brightest, but it's also become a place where a lot of international wrestlers can have built like a dedicated fan base. Mm-hmm. Puff, Pretty Ricky, are very current and Puff, I should say. Being from Buffalo, Myung J Lee, a lot of the Buffalo boys, but then also Violence is Forever.
Yeah.
Going back to the building a good community and whether that was an active goal or not is like becoming a home for so many non-Canadians. Was that an active goal, or is that also just another like happy byproduct of bringing people out and having these great shows with them?
I think it's a byproduct. I remember for many years it was I'm like, I can't put any belts on Americans. I can't just because I'm worried about the border. I don't know. Although it's funny, like ironically, like the first American champion was Garcia, and then Blackwood was the Underground champion, and like 2 months later the border shut down for because of COVID. Mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, that teaches me. But yeah, for a long time I was like, we gotta keep it like base Canadian and just have the American guests. But then it's like, okay, we can do the car out of Ohio, Coos out of Chicago, but and then have the Buffalo guys coming up and have like a crew of international regulars in addition to having special guests. It's something I did sort of early on. Like I remember the first season, I remember having like Hallowick and Larry Sweeney on multiple shows and having them coming up regularly. But yeah, I think now it's a byproduct of the stability and I don't want to say success, but stability of C4 that we have, and we're an established promotion and a reputable one. And it's something that someone like a Kevin Blackwood will take my dates for many years, for like a year or Dom and Kev will be like, look, I other than these AIW dates, we're there. And now someone like Bishop and Bronner and these guys, we were able to create like an international destination for them where they're willing to hop in a car for 10 or 12 hours to make the C4 shows because they like being a part of it. And it's because we've had 16 years of building our reputation and having an audience and it meaning something to be here. And that's really cool from my perspective that people are willing to do that. And I think it's totally a byproduct of what C4 has managed to become.
Absolutely. Kind of adding to that, we've interviewed a ton of people who've worked at C4, but then we've also interviewed a whole ton of people who haven't worked at C4, and it comes up often as like
when
we talk to people who like haven't been to Canada yet, they're like, I gotta go to C4. Mm-hmm. It's a destination place for wrestlers to want to go when they come to Canada. What's that like every time? Is that weird every time you hear it, or are you kind of like, yay?
Of course I'm like, yay, but it's also, it's definitely weird, but it's also, it makes me realize how like I just turned 40 this past summer. I don't think I'm that old, but I hit 40, but it puts in perspective, what a 21-year-old is to a 40-year-old.
Yeah.
And the fact that what they are to C4's age being 16. And that is that 10 years ago when they started looking at indies, or 5 or 6 years ago when they started watching indies, C4 had a presence, and C4 is something that they followed, which blows my mind anytime I hear it. Cause I'm like, we're not this institution, but apparently we are. Yeah. it's really, really neat. And it's just like, yeah, it's C4 has been around for 16 of juniors, 22 years.
Right.
It's crazy. That's where nuts. Titus is 22 years, 23 years. Yeah. And it's, Yeah, I think as new generations of talent come up, what they see C4 being is different than what talent 10, 15 years ago saw it as. And to a degree, I think, I don't want to say we were taken for granted by a lot of people, because in the sense that, oh, it's a local booking, or oh, it's a booking within driving distance, I'll take it. But now it's a generation that was like, well, this is a destination that I want to hit, even if it's only one time on my journey. And it's a very different mindset. That's what I'm still getting used to of encountering that, mm-hmm. but it's awesome. it's awesome when I encounter that.
No more Canadian PWG. We're going to get that out of here for good. C4 has surpassed that. And PWG isn't even PWG anymore. And all indies be booking dream matches and great matches and stuff anymore. So we're going to get rid of that and just say C4 is C4, the premier Canadian independent wrestling promotion.
Thank you. I don't want to throw any shade at PWG. I still believe it's needed.
I still PWG believe it. I love it. It's forever. Yeah, never. Yeah. PWG is going to survive forever. It is the mark.
But yeah,
it's not Canadian PWG anyway. I can watch C4.
Hey, come on, relax.
Hey, I don't stream live. I understand that.
You just have to wait a year instead of 3 days.
Like, like turnaround time in Canada is way quicker. Yeah, like we're just more efficient at everything.
Totally, understand.
Yeah, it's our public wrestling. That's why we haven't privatized that yet.
Correct.
Oh my god! All right, so like we talked. So again, you know, from my experience, I had just the most amazing time. Mm-hmm. You know, from everyone I encountered there. You know, even just like the little things, like almost immediate. You know. Pretty soon, right after the show, like you went out of your way to find me and like, you know, see how I enjoyed my first time there. And, you know, not just for wrestlers, but for fans as well. It is a destination. Like this was a bucket, you know, getting out to C4 was like a bucket list. I've got to do this at some point in time.
Yeah.
My vacation time for next year is going to be very much spread out over the over the calendar on, you know, some trips out to Ottawa, hopefully. Mm-hmm.
I'll send you the dates in advance. So you
can yes.
Oh, I already said it, but like I'll put it on record right here. I am going to come to Fighting Back next year for sure.
Yes,
I have to see that show. Mm-hmm. But you know, we could gush about C4 all day, but instead, let's wrap things up because we want to have you back here. You know, maybe in a few months. More. Maybe mm-hmm. in a few months. Maybe in maybe in another year. Definitely mm-hmm. need our definitely need our regular recap with Mark.
Yes.
You know, 16th year starting this year, so congratulations on that.
Thank you very mm-hmm. much.
Started off with a bang, and it looks like it's continuing on. Terry and Gibson Memorial Tag Tournament looks crazy. Mm-hmm. The field's already stacking up. The Mad Monster Party is coming up in October. The poster for that, I've noticed Lufisto, Uno, Isaiah Broner, Gringo Loco is coming back by the looks of it. TDT and Twiggy are on that, whatever. And Violence is Forever is on that poster as well. Fire. As yes. mm-hmm. So that's going to be an exciting show. Also wondering if we might see this at some point, but I did notice Kevin Blackwood had a, had somebody interrupt him post-match after Walking the Edge. Junior's music hit, mm-hmm. and that building came unglued. Like, you could bottle that and put Red Bull out of business, Mark. but so there's amazing things coming up in C4. Where can everyone find it? Where can everyone watch it? Where can they find you? Where can they follow you?
Just IWTV, C4 on there. And watch all our shows on IWTV, Twitter, C4 Wrestling, Facebook, all of it, all the social medias where on most of them anyways. But yeah, C4 Wrestling, Capital City Championship Combat. We still have our website, c4wrestling.com. And seek us out on IWTV and spread the word. When you're watching us, just tell your friends to check us out. And if you can, if you're lucky enough to be able to check our shows out in person, please do.
Like, yeah, seriously, do.
Do it. Like, watch
do
it.
Do it. Thank you so much again for your time, Mark. It was amazing having you here. And
thank you guys.
I just can't say enough great things about C4 and, you know, my experience over the weekend. So
I know. Thank you very much.
I'm a shut up now. Reg, where can everyone find you?
Good.
You can find me every Saturday on the Grab City podcast with Philip Lindsay. I'm on every Wednesday with Mike. On Wednesdays, I'm on the post show with Denise, the AEW Dynamite post show. Thursdays, I'm on the Ring of Honor post show. And Ask Grab City is every other Thursday. You can find me everywhere. I'm always talking. Don't talk on Twitter as much as often because that place sucks. Thank you.
Hell yeah. And me, Twitter's right there. Every Wednesday, here talking with Reg, independent wrestling here on Indeed. Sundays, Brunch Gimmick over on Love Wrestling. Another great show. Mostly bullshitting. Talk a little bit of wrestling. Mm-hmm. Mostly bullshitting.
Yeah.
Guests coming up on Indeed next week, the 27th of September, the Standard, Matthew Grant, one of my hometown guys from here in Hamilton, Ontario, the Crossbody Pro Wrestling Internet Champion, will be here. Mm-hmm. The week after that, October 4th, Alyssa Marino is going to be joining us. And October 11th, the week after that, Alex Storm, ring announcer for Warrior Wrestling, is going to be joining us. Mm-hmm. Reg met up with him in Chicago, and one thing led to another. And they've got a wild show coming up at the beginning of October, too. So we'll be talking all about that. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you again to Mark for spending some time with us. Support your local independent wrestling franchise promotion. Buy some shirts. Buy some merch. Support your favorite wrestlers. We'll see you next Wednesday. Love y'all. Bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.